Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church, on the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DiMello talks with Father Robert Barron about the new series on Catholicism, The New Evangelization, which premieres December 18th on EWTN television. In our second segment, Dan Burke is here to continue last week's conversation with Ralph Martin about Pope Francis's document, The Joy of the Gospel. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register, and Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register. Blessed Advent, Jeanette.
It's good to be here.
Glad that you are here. Glad that our first guest is here, Father Robert Barron. He is an author, speaker, and theologian. He currently serves as the rector of St. Mary of the Lake Seminary in Mundelein, Illinois. He's also the founder of Word on Fire, which utilizes new media to draw people to the Catholic faith. Father Barron, of course, created Catholicism, an award-winning documentary series about the Catholic faith, which aired across the country on PBS and on EWTN. It's been seen in parishes, universities, schools, and media outlets throughout the world. And now, Father Barron has released a second documentary called Catholicism, The New Evangelization, which premieres on EWTN television Wednesday, December 18th. Today, Father Barron is here to talk about this new documentary and the creative expressions of evangelization it explores, despite the many challenges to faith in our culture. Father, welcome to Register Radio.
Well, my great pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Father Barron, I have already watched your documentary twice. I used it once to prepare for a talk I was giving on the new evangelization, and it's very well done. And then I watched it again this week in preparation for our show. So it's really a blessing to have this. I think this past year, it was the year of faith, but I think it could also have been called the year of the new evangelization with Pope Francis. So tell me, how did Catholicism, the new evangelization, come to be?
Well, it came to be in a somewhat accidental way. I was invited to Australia for a two-week visit to roll out the previous series, you know, the Catholicism series. And I was scheduled to give, I think, about 20 talks in five cities. It was a real hectic sort of tour. And then about a month later, same deal in England. I was invited to give a two-week series of talks to roll out the series. So it occurred to us, why don't we bring the film crew over, the same crew that made the series, and we'll try to just capture what we can. My talks, but also interviews with church leaders, with people on the ground, to see what's happening in these two very secularized countries. That was part of the inspiration. I'm going to Australia and to England, two very secularized countries. What can we find out? So it was a bit of an experiment, really. We didn't know. Brought the crew over, and we did just that. So for 2 weeks, I went around Australia, then 2 weeks around England. And the crew kind of followed me around, but not exclusively. They also would go off. You know, I might be giving a talk somewhere that I'd given before, and they already had it on tape. So they would go out and talk to interesting leaders of ministries and radio programs and those involved in new evangelization. We also talked to church leaders, so from Cardinal Pell to the Archbishop Nichols of London. And we just got all this material. And to be honest with you, we weren't quite sure what we'd do with it. But in the process, I was giving a talk around the country on new evangelization. It was about a 45-minute talk or hour-long talk. And I thought, well, maybe that could be the organizing logic of the program. We could follow the logic of that talk and then bring in all this material that we had from Australia, from England. And then we went around our country interviewing people like George Weigel and Ross Douthat and Brad Gregory at Notre Dame. So that's how it came together. It was a somewhat gradual evolution. And at the end of the day, we thought, yeah, it's a good way to introduce people to new evangelization and how to do it precisely in a secular environment.
Absolutely, and I think we've heard a lot about the term the new evangelization, but we don't always know exactly what that means. And you spend a lot of time defining that particular term. Tell us about the term and how you explain that term for people to really understand it.
Yeah, we took as our point of orientation that speech that John Paul gave in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, in 1983, when he used the phrase, I don't know if it was for the first time or one of the first times he used it, certainly. He said the new evangelization has to be new in ardor, new in expression, and new in method. And we took that as our structuring logic, that it's a new ardor, and that's the first part of our documentary, is about like why we lost the ardor. Why in the years after the council we lost some of our missionary ardor. How do you get it back? How do you exemplify it?
Right.
And the second part of the series is about new expressions. And a lot of my work in recent years has been along those lines, is to find new ways to express the doctrine of God, of Jesus Christ, of redemption, of eternal life, etc., in a way that a secular society might find compelling. We have to find a new way to say it. And thirdly, new methods, and especially now with the explosion in new media. How can the church use these new methods to do its evangelical work? So that's what we did. That's how we marched our way through the documentary. And then wove in all of these other interviews and so on to try to get people informed about the new evangelization, but also teach them how to do it.
That's right. That's right. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Father Robert Barron about his new documentary, Catholicism and the New Evangelization. Now, in that documentary, Father, you do show examples of each one of these, ardor, mm-hmm. Means, methods, expression and methods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all through these people that you met along the way.
Yeah.
Is there one particular example of a group or someone who really exemplified what the new evangelization is?
Oh, there were a lot. But what stands out is the Catholic Voices people in England. These are people who are lay people involved in radio and TV, and they're doing what you'd call kind of basic apologetics, is they want to get involved in the conversation, but in a positive way, and making the Catholic voice heard in, again, this very secularized country. They would hold, as I do, that the wrong people tell our story all the time,
yeah.
That we allow the Catholic story to be told by the secular media, who do it in a very distorted way. So I love the Catholic Voices people, and we featured them. Also, I think of, you know, Spirit Jew Studios that's based here in Chicago, where I am.
That's right.
And they're young people. They've done some work with us, too, at Word on Fire. Great people, full of the John Paul II spirit, but they're young guys who understand the new media. And they've done a lot of creative things with film and with internet work and so on. They're very good. I also think of the Missionaries of God's Love, who are a group based in Australia. And we met them over there in Sydney and Melbourne and other places. Great young people. It's a new religious order that's dedicated to, really, it's, you know, when we filmed this, of course, Francis wasn't Pope yet. But it's very much full of the Pope Francis spirit of putting on that face of the merciful, joyful Christ and going out to meet a secular world. Those are three that come to mind. There were many, though, but those three stand out for me.
Yeah, when you speak of Catholic Voices, I spent some time doing media work as a spokesperson for the Archdiocese of Denver,
yeah.
And I found that sometimes it was difficult not to be defensive,
yeah.
But I really learned that I had to find a way to show the joy of the church, not
right.
Just defend the church, and I think that's what Catholic Voices does.
Yeah.
And you spend a lot of time talking about joy,
yeah.
as a means of evangelization.
Well, and again, I would say maybe it's the weird movement of the Holy Spirit, but you know, this was all done before Pope Francis, but all those
right.
Pope Francis themes are ones that have been close to my heart for a long time. You know, I've talked about leading with joy, leading with beauty. Cardinal Dolan, too, is always on that motif, isn't he? You know,
he
you
is,
begin with
fact.
The yes. You begin with an affirmative orthodoxy. And, you know, I think we've lived through the culture war approach, and I think in a secular environment it's not helpful. Now, you get to all the hot-button issues. I don't recommend bracketing them forever. You get to them. But
right.
I think you lead with the joyful and merciful face of Christ, as the Pope is showing us.
Absolutely. We have to show them what first attracted us, and usually
yeah.
It wasn't a moral code
yeah.
that attracted us to the gospel. It was Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
So,
and then once you fall in love with him and his life, then you say, hey, show me more how to live this life. And I often use the example, I think I do it in the video a bit, of a golf. You know, once you learn a little bit of golf and you start to enjoy the game, you love the rules. And you want more instruction. You want to sit down, any serious golfer, show me a golf pro, help me with my swing, help me get better. See, well, that's the enthusiastic embrace of the law, if you want. That should be true of religious people. if you fall in love with Christ and his way of life, you're eager. You don't resent the law. You're eager for it. Tell me more. But you have to have the love first, and then the eagerness for the law will follow.
Now, you talk about seven characteristics of a new evangelist. We talked about joy, but can you give us two more characteristics of an evangelist?
I think one I talked about was a deep biblical sensibility. A Christ divorced from the biblical background is very evangelically uncompelling. I talked about the Marcionite approach. That goes back to the second century. Marcion was a heretic who said that we should bracket the Old Testament. That's the witness to a fallen God, etc. And there's actually a fair amount of that in Christian theologizing, as though Jesus just exists as a spiritual guru, he's a mystic or whatever, and he's not the fulfillment of Israel. And my point is, evangelism, the euangelion, is the good news that Israel's great story has come to its climax, that the promises made to Israel have been fulfilled. So I think new evangelists have got to be biblically informed people. I feel really strongly about that with kids. Do our kids know the Bible well enough to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of it? Because that's the good news. So being biblically informed, I talked too about the new media. I think anyone involved in evangelization today has got to be, you know, literate in regard to the new media, that we can't just bury our heads in the sand. So that's key. Another mark, you know, is joy, as you say. I mean, that you begin with the relationship. You begin with Christ. Another one is the missionary spirit. When I was coming of age, there wasn't a great stress on the missionary spirit. But I've said to our students here at the seminary, I mean, it should bug every one of you that 75% of Catholics don't go to Mass.
That's right.
Yeah, let's
That's
start right. with that. Before we get to evangelizing the world, how about 75% of our own brothers and sisters don't go to Mass? That is causing the fathers of Vatican II to turn in their graves, because that was maybe the number one concern of Vatican II, was to revive the liturgy and make the liturgy more vibrant. That 75% are staying away from it completely.
Right.
So that's part of it, too, is a missionary heart.
Well, I hope that this documentary does give all of us a jump start in our own apostolic activity and our own missionary activity. And I'd like to tell our audience they can go to CatholicismNewEvangelization.com. Mm-hmm. They can also watch EWTN Live next week, December 18th. And they can see the documentary there also, December 18th on EWTN. And look up the documentary and try and get it and promote it. They can also go to ncregister.com, where we have another interview that Joe Pernishan, our staff writer, did with you not too long ago. The other thing is that you're going to be attending Family Celebration at EWTN.
I'm excited about that. I've watched that for years on TV, and I got an invitation this past year. I said, sure, I'd love to come. It's in August, isn't it?
It is in August, so I hope many people will join us for that. And
yeah.
Father Barron, we're so grateful to have had you on today, and we look forward to talking to you again.
My great pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, Father, and we're very excited that you're going to be joining us at the Family Celebration, which will be, again, here in Birmingham. So make your plans now, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Father. When we return, we're going to continue our talk with Ralph Martin about Pope Francis's new document, The Joy of the Gospel, a talk that we began last week. It was so good, we want to continue that on this week. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
John at Bankovic talks about the National Catholic Register.
I recommend the National Catholic Register to all Catholics who want to discover what it means to live their faith in this our day and time. We get the clear, unbiased news of today because the National Catholic Register takes its cue from the mind and the heart of the Church. It really becomes a tool by which we are able to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that life with others. The National Catholic Register seeks to meet people where they are, seeks to meet people where they are in their walk of faith, where they are practically in their lives at the moment.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Last week, we began a discussion with Ralph Martin, the president of Renewal Ministries and host of the EWTN program, The Choices We Face. And today, Dan Burke picks up our conversation with Dr. Martin about Pope Francis's new apostolic exhortation on evangelization. It's called Evangelii Gaudium, or The Joy of the Gospel.
Well, Ralph, it's great to have you back on Register Radio again, talking about the Pope's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. I was so excited to get this document, to read through it. I love the passion of Pope Francis. We talked about last week how he really, in many ways, embodies the call of the Second Vatican Council for renewal for the sake of evangelization. This week, I wanted to talk with you a bit about the principal settings for that renewal, which were really enunciated in the Synod in October of 2012 that you participated in on the new evangelization. And there are three of those principal settings. Can you talk through each of those for us, Ralph? In the document, the principal settings are pastoral ministry for the faithful. Mm-hmm. So in Evangelii Gaudium, we have some reflection on...
Special settings for the faithful, and then for unbelievers completely who haven't heard the gospel, and then new evangelization for the baptized.
Yes, exactly. The dormant, I would call them the dormant baptized, right?
This is really a distinction that John Paul II originally kind of enunciated in his great missionary encyclical, which incidentally is still the highest authoritative document on evangelization since Vatican II. It has a higher level of authority than an apostolic exhortation. But in that encyclical, Pope John Paul II, in section 33, distinguished these areas of the field of evangelization. And Francis kind of took that distinction over and elaborated on it. And so the pastoral care for those who have some connection to Christ and the church is to help them to grow in holiness, help them to grow in missionary discipleship. And this is one of the strong themes that Francis is talking about. He says it's essential that all of us understand that our basic identity as Catholics is as a missionary disciple, and that we can't disconnect love for God from love of neighbor. And this is, of course, what all the saints say too, as you know, Dan, from your work in spirituality. Loving God and loving our neighbor has to go together, and there can't be a separation from us kind of caring about our own growth and perfection and our love for our neighbor, particularly for their salvation. So the pastoral care directed towards the already baptized who are living in some relationship with Christ in the church is helping them grow in what it means to love God and love their neighbor and embracing missionary discipleship. And then, of course, the popes, all the popes in Vatican II and now Pope Francis II says, you know, with all the focus on new evangelization directed towards the baptized who aren't living as disciples of Christ, we'll talk about that in a minute, we can't forget that we have to keep reaching out to people who have never heard the gospel before. So we need a renewal of the traditional missionary fervor where people are willing to sacrifice themselves to go to places where the gospel's never been heard before. But the main focus of the synod last year and the thing that Pope Francis is talking about here is we really have a huge problem on our hand now. We have over a billion Catholics in the world, but hundreds of millions of them are living far from the church, perhaps. Maybe they've given up their faith. Maybe they've just drifted away through indifference. Maybe the tsunami of secularism that Cardinal Wuerl described at the synod has swept over them. And we need to kind of go to them and help them to reawaken the grace that was given them through their baptism and become alive disciples of Christ. So this is where the new evangelization particularly is focused. What's first new about the new evangelization is who it's directed to: baptized Catholics who need to be called to a conversion and to a relationship with Christ that they presently might not have.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Dr. Ralph Martin about the apostolic exhortation Evangelii Gaudium. And Ralph, it's the dormant baptized. These are folks, I think, that you can particularly press with a little bit more vigor to the issues of eternal judgment and the law of God, because they're folks who at least have some orientation to that. And I think, though many might be repelled, do you believe that it's critical with this group to talk a little bit more about the rigorous demands of living a holy life?
Well, I think we have to let them know that it does matter what you believe, and it does matter how you live. And even though God is infinitely merciful and wants to offer forgiveness to the person who's furthest away from them, there also needs to be a response to that mercy, a response to that love. We just can't presume, oh, yeah, God's merciful, I'm okay, I haven't killed anybody, everything's great. We have to really respond to that love with conversion, with repentance, with faith, with a yes to the offer of friendship that the Lord is making through that mercy. It's not just like a mechanical canceling of sins. It's a relationship that we're being invited into through repentance and through faith. And so I think certainly in many situations, besides kind of talking about the tremendous love and mercy of God, we also need to talk about what kind of response to that love and mercy the Scripture really calls us to make, which is belief and repentance. Then also I think we have to point out, just like Jesus and the apostles regularly pointed out, that there's consequences to respond, in responding or not responding, and that if we don't respond to this love and mercy with a change in our life, with conversion, with repentance, we're really kind of saying no to the offer of a friendship. We're saying no to the offer of eternal life, which isn't a good place to be.
You know, Ralph, there's a passage in one of the, I think maybe the central document of the Second Vatican Council that's very powerful. I know you could give us the reference, but it basically says that those who are in the bosom of the church, as it were,
yeah,
and who have been given this grace, but who do not respond according to the grace that they've been given,
mm-hmm,
well, are not only not going to be saved, and that's almost a literal quote, they're not only not going to be saved, but they're going to incur a stricter judgment. A lot of people saw the Second Vatican Council as this, you know, flimsy, lightweight, squishy, you know, not really saying anything. That passage is jarring.
Yeah, it's Lumen Gentium 14, and Dan, I have to tell you, you're the only other person besides me that I've ever heard mention that. and it's so important. I mean, it's what it's saying is so radical, it's so challenging, it's so true. And there's a footnote to that little text that you just repeated almost word for word by memory, which lists the whole string of scripture passages that talk about it's not enough to say Lord, Lord, and not everybody who says Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of the Father. I mean, so this is part of the fundamental revelation that has been made to us through Jesus and the apostles, and the councils underlining it and reaffirming it. And it needs to be told to people because, you know, it's a false compassion not to tell people the truth, you know. It's a false compassion to only tell people part of the message. And, yes, we have to judge the circumstances and who we're talking to, and we have to be led by the Spirit. But at certain points, we really need to tell people the truth, that this is not just a game. This is not just an optional enrichment exercise. This isn't just something that will give more meaning to your life, but this is something that could save you.
Right. And I love your passion about this, Ralph, and we definitely share it. Because in the end, when you and I stand before the Lord, and really all of us Catholics, we're going to have to make an account for the,
yeah,
grace that he's given us and how we've responded, and in particular, whether or not we've helped others to heaven. This,
yeah,
this action of helping people without giving them this hard truth is really helping them to hell rather than to heaven, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's this wicked false compassion. Like it's like a doctor who had a patient come to him and say, "Doctor, I sure hope you're not going to tell me I have cancer. I don't know what I'd do if you'll tell me. I'll freak out." And the doctor says, "Golly, I don't want this patient to freak out, you know. So, hey, just take an aspirin, everything will be okay." Well, that's medical malpractice, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that doctor would be removed because even though it would be painful, even though it was discomforting, even though the patient didn't like to hear the truth, it could have saved her life because she would have had treatment that could have saved her life. It's the same with spiritual malpractice. It's absolutely spiritual malpractice not to tell people the truth about what Jesus has told us about what we have to do to end up forever with him or separated from him.
And forever.
It could just be spiritual malpractice.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio with Dr. Ralph Martin talking about the Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, how it lines up with the Second Vatican Council and how it lines up with the critical text that the Holy Spirit has moved through Pope John Paul II and other writers of the Church. So, Dr. Martin, as we wrap up today, We've got just a few minutes. Let's talk about the third principle setting. So we've talked about pastoral ministry needs to be toward renewal and drawing people to Christ. We need to reach the dormant baptized, those who are baptized but who are just out on the edges or inactive. But then there are those outside of the church who don't know Jesus. How does the Pope guide us in how we should reach out to them?
Well, he's saying that we need a renewal of missionary fervor, not just directed towards those other categories that you just mentioned, but the traditional focus of missionary work towards people who have never heard the gospel before. Lots of people in countries that are predominantly Muslim or Hindu or whatever, and there's still tribes in Papua New Guinea that we work with regional ministries that haven't heard the gospel. And the thing that's motivated missionary action like this, this kind of mission agentes, this primary evangelization, has been a real concern for the salvation of souls. And just this past week, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis. The last couple of weeks, we celebrated the feast of Francis Xavier. What motivated Francis Xavier to go to India and to go to Japan and to die on an island off the coast of China was the concern for the salvation of souls. He knew that everybody out there weren't well-meaning people who were responding to the light that God was giving them. He knew that there was idolatry, all kinds of things that people need to literally be saved from in order to have eternal life.
Well, Ralph, you've done a great job of enunciating this critical and this urgency. The fact is that the church teaches that folks who have not embraced Christ or who have rejected Christ, and the church has always taught that there's not a good end for them, and we shouldn't be complacent or believe that God is merciful, and thereby there's no real responsibility on the part of those who hear the call of the gospel, but there's also a responsibility on our part.
That's great, Dan. I'm really so glad that National Catholic Register can be a voice for the gospel like it is through you and your collaborators.
Well, thank you, Ralph, and we're grateful for all the work that you're doing. Keep up the great work. Thank you for being with us on Register Radio, and God bless you and your continued efforts to help us understand how it is that we should come to know Christ and then to bring Christ to the world.
Amen.
And don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this week on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.